Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Oh my! It's the Friday episode.
Friday!
We've recovered from Diana Hong's visit.
We still love you, Diana.
We do. We do. And if you love Diana Hong, you can go see her tonight if you're listening on Friday at the VFW Hall in West Sacramento. She's one of three comedians performing. So go check that out.
Show starts at 8. Tickets are $10.
15 at the door.
15 at the door.
So and they're serving a dinner, I guess, starting at 6:30. So you can go get food there, too, if you want to make a whole night of it.
Some ribs, I heard, right?
Ribs!
Some ribs.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We don't know for sure. You can hit up Diana on Facebook and to find out more about that. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Check it out. I'm going to try and go out and do that.
Me too.
I've been woefully, woefully unsupportive by showing up for things. it's true. Although I have gone out to, when Kareem has put on some things, I've gone out to those things, and I try to do that. So.
You don't come out to my ACL shows.
I don't. I don't. The last time you weren't in it anyway, so.
No, I haven't been in a show for a while.
There you go. I have not. The anterior cruciate ligament shows I have not been to. oh boy. Yeah, it's been the brutal hotness has ended, and it's been replaced by humidity and smoke and bullshit around here.
Yeah.
The fires are crazy, and the car fire up near Reading, unbelievable.
Yeah, Saturday I went, one of my friends owns a plane, a small, like a four-seater.
Right, I saw your live video.
Yeah, so Saturday they did a pancake breakfast and he took me and a couple of people up. And we went up in Vacaville, mm-hmm. and we were going to go over the mountain so that we could see Lake Berryessa.
Mm-hmm. Later that day, a fire started there. So what did you flick the cigarette out the window?
I did not. And I don't even know if the cigarette would have landed from as far up as we were. But we went up and it was so hazy that you couldn't even see over the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't see Lake Berryessa until we got over the mountain. And then it was still really hazy just trying to look, just trying to see it. So it's really bad.
It's a lot of smoke around, a lot of people.
I've been taking Zyrtec like every day because air is just horrible.
Oh, I'm so glad that I've been getting these special shots and special medication for my asthma. Yeah. And like I've had some tightness and breathing, but I haven't had anywhere near the horrible issues that I would normally have.
Yeah,
at this time, like it's amazing.
If you're looking, if you want to help out fire victims, pretty much anywhere. Check out the Red Cross, and your local Red Cross will tend to have,
you can actually
different drives.
Donate at 916-443-8255.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different things that are needed, and the Red Cross is a pretty good way to get stuff distributed. So, Leslie's family, so far that I know, there have been some that have had to be evacuated. I'm not sure how their houses are. A good portion of her relatives live on the other side of town. So,
yeah.
Thankfully for that. But I mean, the fire jumped the river one day.
That's crazy.
Jumped the river. They had what they called fire tornadoes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable shit.
I've seen them, man.
But, yeah, don't worry about the climate.
Chris was telling me.
It's all in your mind.
My wife was telling me that it was, I'm not sure if it was 2030. It might have been 2030. That by 2030, 50% of California could be on fire at any one time. Like, if things keep going the way that they're going.
Well, not if there's nothing left to burn.
Well, no, there's always going to be something to burn.
yeah, because it grows back pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, even in burn areas, if you go past the burn area 6 months later, there's already enough, because nature will replenish.
And some of the redwood trees that are, the they need fire in order to reproduce.
Yeah, because it's part of the natural cycle in California. Because a lot of the fires happen, they're sparked by lightning. They're sparked by lightning. They're not done. Now, the one near Reading, I believe it was a malfunctioning vehicle that caused it. And there's a variety of things. But, yeah, don't fuck around with fire in California in the summertime.
No.
And the summertime's getting longer.
Yep.
Fire season starts earlier, lasts later, and is a bigger problem. So,
good times.
Yeah, it's good times. good times. All right. So now that we've talked about that, I think it's time to get the important news.
Women who shoplifted at a Fresno Lululemon store is responsible for hitting more than a dozen stores in the Bay Area. All of the thefts happened in the last 3 weeks, totaling over $135,000. Action News reporter Christina Phan joins us with the damage done here in Fresno. Christina?
That's right, Liz Warren. Police say these women have had a lot of practice. On Sunday, they walked into the Lululemon at Fig Garden and stole 148 pairs of yoga pants. That's about $17,000. The store manager told police they had been warned about these women from their corporate office. That's because starting on July 8th, a similar crew hit 13 different times in the Bay Area, from Berkeley to Stanford. In all these cases, the suspects would walk in, avoid eye contact, and scoop up as many pairs of pants as they could into large totes. Officers were able to make an arrest in one of these cases, and they believe it's the same group of women here in Fresno.
If they don't have probation, parole, or they have warrants already, those aren't crimes that most jurisdictions are going to keep people in jail for. They're going to cite them out, or they can bail out. So my understanding is they did get out on that crime, so, and just continuing it. Very lucrative.
Detectives are trying to match the suspects' faces from the Fresno theft to other surveillance video from around the state. They are also hoping to find a potential license plate number of the car they used. And as you can see in these videos, these women are very bold, committing their thefts in broad daylight, often when there are children and families present. Police say they've done this a total of 14 times now. In the studio, Christina Phan, ABC 30, Action News.
Okay.
So, white women, you calling the police on everybody but women stealing shit that you want.
And they're black women, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that basically in the stores.
Joseph Ward, the man.
Oh, sorry. It went to the next video, which we don't need. It's what I've learned is that yoga pants are way too expensive.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm tip of my hat to a former host, Christiana, who pointed out that Lululemon yoga pants were ridiculously overpriced and that she would never buy them.
Yeah.
About the time the scandal came out that they were see-through.
Well, Chris doesn't buy those either.
Remember, I've said it on the show a couple of times. Yoga pants or tights are not pants.
Shut up, Kareem.
Put some goddamn pants on.
Shut up, Kareem.
Come on, Kareem.
Why are you trying to ruin it for us?
Sound like my daddy now. Put some goddamn pants on.
Come on, bro.
I know you've retired your cock and balls, but that doesn't mean the rest of us have to, Grandpa.
It's not I haven't either. Look, some of the shit you don't want to see.
Fair enough, but
I'm willing to weather that storm.
Much like the Facts of Life theme song, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have.
Yeah.
Chicks in yoga pants. Sad news from the WWE. First of all, Nikolai Volkov passed away at 70.
I am really crushed by that one. That was one of my childhood. That I lost. I told. As a matter of fact, I saw that and I told my girlfriend. I was like, "Yeah, a part of my childhood just died."
Yeah, and you know, people hated him because he played the angry Russian and sang Russian the Soviet national anthem.
Yeah.
In the 80s, when he was doing stuff with the Iron Sheik, but. Backstage, apparently the nicest guy in the world. So, big loss there. Jerry Lawler's son, Brian Christopher Lawler, also passed away this weekend. He had been in jail in Tennessee, and I can't remember if we talked about this or not. He skipped out on a hotel bill, and he was being pulled over for a DUI because he was driving erratically, and they ended up bringing him to jail because he was very much driving drunk and had that warrant out for that. And he allegedly tried to hang himself in jail Saturday night. And they brought him to the hospital. He ended up passing away at age 46.
Yeah, that was that's pretty sad.
It really is. Because if you're someone who watched WWE during the Attitude Era in the late 90s, he was known as Grandmaster Sexay.
Yeah, I remembered him.
Yeah, from the tag team of Too Cool. Yeah, just kind of sad.
Yeah.
Just kind of sad when, you know, when you get to the point where you feel like that is your only way out. And he has struggled with addiction, too. So there is help out there, people. You don't have to do that. So anyway, we were talking in Wednesday's show about, things being dug up on Twitter from years and years ago and James Gunn getting fired from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Well, the stars of Guardians of the Galaxy have come out in support of James Gunn and wrote an open letter. It's signed by Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, Zoe Saldana, Vin Diesel, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, and Michael Rooker. It says, to our fans and friends, we fully support James Gunn. We're all shocked by his abrupt firing last week and have intentionally waited these 10 days to respond in order to think, pray, listen, and discuss. In that time, we've been encouraged by the outpouring of support from fans and members of the media who wish to see James reinstated as director of Volume 3, as well as discouraged by those who so easily duped into believing the many outlandish conspiracy theories surrounding him. Being in Guardians of the Galaxy movies has been a great honor in each of our lives. We cannot let this moment pass without expressing our love, support, and gratitude for James. We're not here to defend his jokes of many years ago, but rather to share our experience, having spent many years together on set making Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. The character he has shown in the wake of his firing is consistent with the man he was every day on set. And his apology, now and from years ago when first addressing these remarks, we believe is from the heart. A heart we all know, trust, and love. In casting each of us to help him tell the story of misfits who find redemption, he changed our lives forever. We believe the theme of redemption has never been more relevant than now. Each of us looks forward to working with our friend James again in the future. His story isn't over, not by a long shot. There is little due process in the court of public opinion. James is likely not the last good person to be put on trial. Given the growing political divide in our country, it's safe to say instances like this will continue. Although we hope Americans from across the political spectrum can ease up on the character assassinations and stop weaponizing mob mentality. It's our hope that what has transpired can serve as an example for all of us to realize the enormous responsibility we have to ourselves and to each other regarding the use of our written words when we etch them in digital stone, that we as a society may learn from this experience and in the future will think twice before we decide what we want to express. And in so learning, perhaps we can harness the ability to help and heal instead of hurting each other. Thank you for taking the time to read our words, Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, I watched the documentary on Acorn. For all of you guys who don't remember who Acorn was a group that worked. They did a lot of civil rights work. They did a lot of work for voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
And so the James O'Keefe and this 19, 20-year-old white girl.
Mm-hmm.
Going into places.
They were going into places, pretending to be a pimp and a prostitute in the Acorn offices and asking them for help or whatever. And part of the thing with Acorn was they never turned anybody away. So they went into some of the offices and some of the people answered their questions, but they didn't really like they knew that it wasn't like the dude wasn't even a believable pimp. He was like
high school playbook pimp.
High school playbook. It was like Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch.
Right.
Pimp.
Yeah.
The guy in Florida, whose office they went to, he actually called the police right after they left. But James O'Keefe didn't put those in the videos.
Of course not.
He cut the videos to make it look like the Acorn people were,
helping him.
Were helping him. So, but what they were really were trying to do were they were trying the O'Keefe and the people that backed him were really trying to put Acorn out of business because those people were registering people to vote. The Republican Party is a dying party. They do not have enough people to sustain their movement. It's a fact. And so, a lot of what we've seen in the last 16 years has been, there's been a lot of voter suppression that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
There've been people that have been kicked off rolls. Matter of fact, they're purging rolls right now as we speak.
Yeah, make sure if you think you're registered to vote, make sure you are.
Make sure you are. So they've been doing this, and so they've been pushing this agenda to get them there. Oh, thrown off. But with that, with them doing that, the girl who unwittingly, and I'm going to give her a little bit of credit for being young and dumb. She didn't realize that some of those people had called the police after they left or had done those things.
Right.
My only issue with her at this point was when she actually met the black lady who was running Acorn at the time, she didn't really apologize for what she had done. She had to give like a half-ass apology for it.
Is there a point you're getting to?
My point is pay the fuck attention to what you're doing.
Okay, and James,
go ahead.
Okay, what does that have to do with the Guardians of the Galaxy and James Gunn?
What that has to do with the Guardians of the Galaxy is that it's the same mentality. The people that did that to them have the same mentality, and we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that mentality. So
gotcha.
That it's.
I knew you were going somewhere. It just felt like you got lost along the way.
I did get a little lost along the way. I'm going to admit that. But that's the mentality that we have to fight now.
Right. And like I mentioned on Wednesday, these video skits that James Gunn had done were known before he directed a single frame of Guardians of the Galaxy. He had acknowledged that they were in poor taste, that they were not good for public consumption, and apologized for making them.
Yeah.
So for Disney to turn around now because some ass bag dug it up and went, oh, hey, look, Disney does this. Disney has the power and the sway to go, no, James Gunn has already acknowledged and apologized for these years ago. Yeah. And he's been nothing but professional and respectful and courteous to everybody and to everybody that he has worked with and worked for. And that's the end of it.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing that we those companies have to start doing that. And actually,
absolutely.
Once they start affecting their bottom line, then they will.
And by the way, kudos to AMC. Chris Hardwick is going to be hosting Talking Dead.
Good.
Because they had their own independent investigation of the allegations that his ex-girlfriend made and did not find them to be consistent with anything else. They didn't. I mean, how accurate are they? How much is she distorting things? We don't really know. But nobody else came forward and said, yes, that's the Chris Hardwick we know. That's behavior that he has exhibited on multiple occasions.
Right.
And so when they finished with their investigation, they said, you know what? We're going to have him back.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Once people start investigating and finding out what the real facts are.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever way they go, then that's the way you go. Stop trying to appease this group of people and balls and like we were talking about the last show, balls and strikes. Like, okay, if it's found it, fire them, do what you need to do.
Absolutely.
But if it's not found it and that person, and even if it is found and that person done something to make amends since the time that it happened, then keep it moving.
The thing that was bad about the Chris Hardwick situation was that he was never named in anything that she wrote.
Right. It was like people were connecting the dots.
People connected the dots, and then he got pulled.
But by the way, if it wasn't Chris Hardwick, after it blew up, she would have said, no, 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 it's not Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
Now, I have no doubt that maybe he treated her like shit on certain occasions, that he was demanding.
Yeah.
But by the way, you're dating a dude twice your age.
Yeah.
He's going to, he may at times treat you like someone half his age.
Yeah.
He's going to set up demands for your relationship and everything. And by the way, if you're not okay with him, leave.
Well, or cheat on him like she did.
Well, both. Yeah, you can do either one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. By the way, I just need to say this. I need to say, Kareem, I know you watched The View religiously, so you probably saw this, but I have to say, fuck Meghan McCain.
I mean, Joy, I call her Crooked Hillary. I do. When I'm talking about Hillary Clinton, I call her Crooked Hillary.
And what do you call him? Lion Don?
I call him President Trump, which maybe, I mean, maybe I should, I mean, I just think it, there are even parts of me, as you know, that still react to the, like, the adages that he uses, I guess. When you're talking about Crooked Hillary, it really worked during the election. I was like, Crooked Hillary, because I hate Hillary Clinton, as everyone here knows.
Fuck you.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I've said on the
Fuck you, Meghan McCain.
I have said on the show before, I am a former Republican, which might surprise, still might surprise a lot of y'all. Meghan McCain and Essie Cupp are those people that are still fighting for an ideal that does not exist anymore. The good thing about MSNBC is that they've hired Steve Schmidt and I can't think of that lady, Nicole Wallace, who actually worked in the George Bush administration. And they have actually, they actually called balls and strikes. So they're not on their show saying, they're not on their show being partisan Republican hacks and agreeing with everything. They're like, no, you have killed our fucking party. And they haven't realized that their party's dead. Meghan McCain and, Essie Cupp and those people. They don't realize that their party's dead. And even the policies, they don't even really understand. They're like, oh, well, he's doing the stuff that he wants to do. Well, if you don't want people to have clean drinking air and water, you don't want, the education system to work properly, or to be gutted, then you are a part of the fucking problem. So I'm with you. Fuck you, Meghan McCain.
Yeah. So,
wish your dad well, but fuck you, Meghan McCain.
Yeah, she should know better. She really should know better. And to your point, yeah, the Republican Party of today is nothing like the Republican Party of 30 years ago.
And the, oh, so what she, what you didn't hear in that clip is her husband works in the administration. So that's why she defends the administration like she does. Or to the extent that she does, is because her, her husband, and I think some of his family, works in the administration. So that's what that is. That's really what that, that's about. So.
Well, she can fuck right off, Kareem. That's what I'm gonna say. She can fuck right off.
Who else can fuck off?
Oh, well, if you, who are you asking?
You.
Oh, well, Roseanne, says screw apologies. Haters can fuck off.
Oh, haters.
She's far from moving on and saying sorry after her latest attempt didn't go well, and is a message for people who don't appreciate her jokes. Fuck off! TMZ spoke with Roseanne last week after her TV apology to Valerie Jarrett ended with a diss on Jarrett's haircut, and asked if her joke was distracting from other points she made on Sean Hannity's show last week. Her response? They hate jokes. They should fuck off. As for whether she's going to lay off Jarrett for now, she tells us we'll just have to wait and see.
And she's an example of the fucking, she's an example of those Trump report people who, even when you tell them the fucking truth or give them the facts, that they still keep going on and saying shit that's not true. So, so first she says she thought the bitch was white. About Valerie Jarrett.
Right.
But she actually thought she was Iranian because she was born in Iran, or was born in the Middle East because her parents were in the military. And they let her know this on several occasions, and she's still calling her Iranian.
Well.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Roseanne thought Valerie Jarrett was Iranian.
Wow.
So that's the thing. It's like she's, but she's an example of those Trump voters. Once you give them the information or the correct information, they don't.
Once you appeal to what they want to hear.
Yeah.
that's racist information.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, she's black, and you're still arguing about the fact that you thought she was Iranian. Like, no, this, she's black.
Anyway, Roseanne also spoke with Rabbi Shmuley.
What did Shmuley have to say?
More about being ousted from her ABC show, and says the real tragedy is that she had noble plans for season two, including hiring African-American writers. God damn it, Kareem, the dream is dead.
Oh, fuck.
That old Trump.
And I...
Yeah, that's like been like the old, like, that's like the, that's the same argument as like, no, I have black friends.
And fuck Shmuley too. Cause he was on The View too last week, caping for her, talking about, oh, well, you know, she's done all the things that the Jewish people are supposed to do to make amends. So she's done, he rolled off this shit that they're supposed to do. I was like, no, you haven't gone and sat your ass down in the corner and shut the fuck up long enough for people to forgive you. Like, you can't say, oh, I want to be forgiven. And then, before they can even get the concept of forgiving you in their mind, you would have thrown out another racist rant or another stupid rant. Like, no, go sit your ass down in the corner. And like, somebody said, do like Mel Gibson did. Mel Gibson went the fuck away.
Mm-hmm.
People forgot about him. He apologized, and he brought himself back slowly, so you kind of forgot he was in the room.
Right, and he didn't call anybody sugar tits for a while.
Right.
Didn't get in any yelling arguments.
Didn't get onto social media.
Didn't get on social media.
Like, you haven't been, it's like you still haven't even left the fucking room yet.
By the way, have you thought about the possibility if Hitler had a Twitter feed?
Oh, God. That would be hilarious.
Would it be much different than what we're used to?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, you haven't even got up. You haven't. Look, it's like she's that person that you're in an argument with and they're still in the fucking room. Like, they haven't left yet. It's like that girlfriend that you're like, fuck it, get out. And she keeps coming back in to continue arguing with you.
And why haven't you forgiven me yet?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, no, you gotta leave before, like, I told you to get out.
I need time to process this.
I had a girlfriend that every time, like, we dated for about 4 months, and, like, for, like, the last 3 or 4 weeks, like, we were dating, every time she would get drunk, we were, like, 22, so we were always getting drunk, she would, like, get upset with me about some issue that we'd already solved. Yeah. But she'd keep bringing it up every single time she got drunk, and she'd get so upset and angry.
Okay, hold on. You had a woman that kept bringing up the same issue over and over again, even after you'd reached a conclusion?
Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah.
don't blame alcohol, man. Do not blame alcohol. I know I'm going to get in trouble for that. Yeah. Do not blame alcohol.
Yeah.
No. The only time she would bring up the shit or get upset was when she was drunk.
Alcohol made her remember.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and fuck Monique. I hope you stay blackballed.
Oh,
because she was like, oh, I'm going to support my sister in comedy in Roseanne. So yeah,
so she did not.
Yes, yeah, she did.
Oh, Monique.
I saw it. It was on one of those LA stations last week. So yeah, so fuck you. I hope Netflix never gives you a fucking deal.
Oh my gosh. My friend Jane, I want to post that on her thing. I want to show her, like, remember when you talking about that shit about Netflix? I'm glad that they didn't give her a show.
Yeah. Like, you still up here, she's still fucking calling, cussing out this woman that had done nothing to her whatsoever. And fuck you. Go sit your ass down in the corner where you belong.
All right, in depth with Tone X in a minute, but Monique is here too. We're going to chat about the little bit. It's really good to see. A couple things we got to ask you about.
Yes.
You know, we talked about this before the light went on. You have a thought about the whole thing with Roseanne.
I do. I really do. Should we wait for the break or should we share?
No,
right
we'll share right now.
You know, Roseanne Barr is my sister in comedy, and she's my universal sister. And what I won't do, Sam, is throw her away for making a mistake. We've all said and done things, baby, that we wish we could take back and swallow and say, oh, but when you're in the public eye, you can't. And it's out there. But to put the title of racist on her, I can only share my experience with Roseanne. I remember when I had the Monique show, and there were big, major black superstar talent that had white representatives. And they told their talent, that show was too black. And we really don't want you to go on there. But there was a white woman named Roseanne Barr that showed up for me when people that looked like me. Now, that, I want to thank all the talent that came on the Monique show, because there were some beautiful people that sat on that couch. But I remember when we were going after the big names, and it was, oh, we got to get back to you. And y'all know who you saw and who you didn't see on that show.
Right.
But that woman, when we called, it wasn't a question. And she came and she sat on that sofa, and they didn't hear the conversation when the cameras wasn't rolling. And that woman was giving me some beautiful words. And she said, Monique, I'm going to tell you right now, baby, they're going to consider you difficult. They're going to call you the B word because you're a woman who won't lay down and take that foolishness. So what I would ask is, yes, my sister made a mistake. And she said something that I know she wished she could take back. But what I would ask is that we don't throw her away.
Hmm.
The consequence is what the consequence is.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what it is, Sam, to be thrown away based off of a lie. I know that feeling to have to fight for
something.
She
said it.
Right.
It's not a lie. She said it.
By the way, just for clarification, the guy going, that's her husband.
Yeah.
No. For some reason, he's sitting on the set, too.
Yeah.
But it's not one of the anchors. That's her husband.
Yeah, no, it's not a lie. She doesn't, and she hasn't taken it back. That's the thing. She keeps doubling down.
Right.
She wants to be right. And you know, that Roseanne that she met that was on her show, that probably was, Roseanne probably did do those things. But that Roseanne does not exist anymore.
Well, maybe she does, because Roseanne has multiple personalities.
Oh yes, she could be in there.
She could be in there.
Yeah.
But the Roseanne that keeps coming out in public keeps doubling down on this shit.
Exactly.
And we cannot forgive you when you're not sorry.
Exactly.
Why can't you forgive me for what I said that I'm not sorry I said?
Yeah. And nobody's throwing her away. She can make a comeback, but you got to go the fuck away before you can come back.
It's true.
Like she did.
Right?
Like she did. Yeah. She went away.
For a long time.
ABC tried to save you from yourself.
Mm-hmm. Said, don't go on Twitter.
Stay off of Twitter.
Stay off of social media.
Because we know this will get you in trouble.
And it did.
And it did.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, I don't
testify.
Know what, no, I know what the fuck I'm doing. It's like your friend that, it's like your drunk friend, Jason, I'm sorry, it used to be you. So we had this friend when I was in the Air Force. His name was Andre Horton. Every time we went to the club, he would drive and he would be drunk. He would literally want to fight us when we were trying to keep him from driving drunk.
Right.
Oh, that wasn't me in our group. That was another guy.
Yeah. There's one in every group.
Yeah, there was another guy in our group that was like that.
But that's, I mean, it wasn't that we weren't being bad friends. All of us would be like, dude, let me drive for you. Somebody would, Every time somebody in our group would bite, let us drive for you, whatever. And he would literally, like, we would almost have to square up with him to keep him from driving. And he would still drive. And he ended up getting kicked out of the Air Force because he had like 3 DUIs.
Mm.
So that's the type of person that you're dealing with. And you can't save that person from themselves. So if you, that's the road that you want to keep going down, then you keep digging. Monique, just keep digging.
Yep.
At some point, you'll hit bottom, or you'll hit the molten core to...
KTLA won't invite you on the morning show anymore.
Yeah, so you'll hit the molten core of the planet and burn the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, this seems like a really bad idea to me. Casper, the mattress company, is opening a nap store in New York City adjacent to their actual mattress store. And for $25, you can nap on a Casper bed for 45 minutes. That's what the... what their pod looks like. If you look on the screen there, Jason, it's in big picture.
Yeah, I read this article.
They're a direct customer sleep company that's not advertising on this podcast, so fuck them. they've been talking about helping people sleep better. The brand is best known for kickstarting the mattress in a box craze, and its expansion into sheets, pillows, and blankets has helped it hit $600 million in revenue. Now they found another aspect of sleep to sell, that's sleep itself. So right next to their store, they've launched a branded nap destination called Dreamery. For $25, you can catch a 45-minute nap inside a sleeping pod furnished with a Casper mattress as well as Casper sheets, pillows, blankets, socks, and an eye mask. Staff will provide fresh linen for every nap, and also on loan are pajamas by Sleepy Jones, a toothbrushing set from Hello, face wash from Sunday Ridley, and audio tracks from Headspace. You know, to get all that stuff taken care of. They say a lot of people have a need for a break, but don't have a place for it. Whether they've taken the red eye and need a place to crash, or far minutes away from home, need to settle down for a bit during a 14-hour workday. So we're passionate about creating a cultural movement around sleep, much like George Costanza, apparently. And we think a lot about how people are different ways to rest and recharge. Part of the perk, she adds, is giving people a place to lay low. The Dreamery Lounge is serene and calming with dark blue paint and twinkling stars on the walls. There are also couches, books, and free coffee and snacks. Free coffee? Anyway, they're curious to see who will sign up for the naps. They can be booked on the Dreamery site on different apps. But even without any user data, the company is already set on expanding the concept. They want to open the Dreamery and travel hubs like airports. That makes sense. As well as office spaces. A $25 Casper fee will charge, just covers the Dreamery costs. The concept is not about making money. It's of course about experience. Yeah, because if you love the Casper stuff, you're going to buy it. You go, I slept on this Casper stuff and it was great. So let me ask you guys this. Is this not just a boon for the prostitution industry? I don't have to go to a seedy motel. I can go to the Dreamery and fuck my whore.
It is a great idea, but somebody will always fuck it up.
Right?
And I can't... You know, the person that's going to fuck it up is the guy that goes in there to sleep and doesn't want to get out after 45 minutes. And then they have to forcibly remove them.
Oh, no. They'll just charge the credit card for another $25. Because you're going to have to do that with a card. They're not going to take cash.
Yeah, true.
So that's not the issue. The issue is people are going to be fucking in there.
You think so?
I absolutely... Kurt, is there any stronger drive than to drive to have sex?
Nope.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to provide you a clean place to do it in the middle of Manhattan. You don't have to rent a hotel. Yeah. You can just. It's going to cost you $25 for 45 minutes. I'm going to be able to fuck and have a nap for $25.
Somebody's going to do it.
I guarantee you.
Well, I can't wait. We'll be listening to Sex Toy News every day.
Somebody is going to do it. Like I said, it's a good idea. But like I said, it's a great idea
for an airport.
Yeah, and somebody will fuck it up.
For an airport, it's a phenomenal idea.
Oh, my God. Is that Ronald McDonald?
It's not.
the guy looks like Ronald McDonald without his makeup.
He sure does. Jason's laughing because the headline says naked guy nabbed from McDonald's romp.
But he does look like Ronald McDonald without the white makeup.
They should have threw some fry grease on his ass.
A naked man who police found doing jumping jacks in the women's bathroom of a McDonald's in Tennessee was arrested for public indecency, trespass, and public intoxication charges. They were summoned to the McDonald's in Nashville due to a male subject who was locked in the women's restroom naked, according to a court affidavit. Restaurant management reported the man had been in there all day. The patrolman reported encountering Brody Young, 25, in the bathroom. Young, the cop added, was indeed naked. He was erratic and doing jumping jacks and hitting the wall. There was a strong chemical odor in the bathroom, evidence the intoxicated Young had likely been huffing. Deemed a danger to himself and others, he was taken into custody and charged with several misdemeanors. Mr. Young has priors for huffing.
Oh, man.
During a court appearance, he pleaded guilty to criminal trespass, fined $329, and prosecutors dropped the indecency and public intoxication counts. He's now barred from entering the McDonald's. And remains locked up in the county jail because there's another outstanding warrant.
Oh, wow.
I just thought that was funny. Unfortunate. Don't huff stuff, kids.
Man, that's some horrible shit, man.
It really is. All right, it's time to have an actual debate here about important things. The debate is apparently, this is on Twitter, so it has to be a thing. Drums versus flats. The ultimate chicken wing debate. So, here are some of the tweets. Drums over flats every day. That's in all caps. Flats will always taste better than drums. I like drums and flats. I think I like drums more, though. If you prefer drums over flats, you belong in jail. And someone tweeted, no lie, I'm mad at myself. I liked drums for so long, but I just figured out how to get the bones out of flats, and I think my tastes have changed.
Oh, yeah, you got to get the bones out of... You can't eat flats and keep the bones in. You got to have... Like, you haven't eaten flats, right, if the bones are still together.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is that a lot of those people don't know that you're supposed to take the bones out of the flats, and that makes them the best.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a chicken nugget. Like, I mean, really is, but just like real chicken and spice, like, it's the best way.
So, the question is, drums or flats, Jason?
Oh, I'm flats all day. Once I learned...
Kareem?
I'm drums. I actually like both.
Sure. But I'm asking you, if you could only have one.
It would be drums.
Drums?
What?
He's going with the drums.
Why are you going with the drums? You can't fit like the whole, like, I don't know, man.
See how this is how it starts.
I just need to know why. I need to know why it's the drums.
Do you have a reason why?
Is it for
quantity?
Yeah.
Drums are for people that choose quantity over quality. Flats are for people who choose quality over quantity.
What are you talking about? You always get like five more like flats like than you do drums, and like the drums don't necessarily have more meat on them.
Not if you're doing a count of wings. If you go to Wingstop, yeah, you get a certain number of wings.
You get 8.
8 or 10 or 12 or whatever, yeah, you buy.
It's 6, 8, or 12, 10 or 12. Cause I went to fire, whatever they're called. Fire Wings,
Fire Anus?
Saturday. It's a new one over off of, How in Hurley.
Okay.
And actually they were the first ones who actually gave me more drums than flats. Wingstop normally gives you like half and half, pretty much.
Yeah.
Most of us I've ever been, it's usually more flats than drums.
If you're getting it by the weight, if it's a place that sells them by weight, you might get more flats than drums. But if you're doing it by just wing count, it's going to be probably, if you'd order 10, you're probably going to get 5 and 5. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would bet you would probably get more like 7 and 3. 7 flats and 3 drums.
Yeah, that's about normal is what I would say.
So I'm going to settle this once and for all. I mean, it's all about preference. And I like both. I don't hate either one.
I like both also. But I'm a flats.
I would have to go with flats as well. If I had to choose. If gun to my head, you can only go all flats or all drums, I would go all flats.
Man, once you figure out how to take the bone out, like once you learn how to twist the bones out and get the bones out, like, it's great. It's just awesome. It's the best way. It's the most amazing thing. Like, there's really, like, no other way to eat wings. Sorry.
Patient Rose tweets, I'm all about the flats, but I do not judge my drums family. It just means we each know our respective roles when the basket of wings arrives.
True that.
I think the lesson is you can't lose when you're getting wings.
Yeah. I want some wings right now.
I had wings this weekend. I had a very disappointing experience.
Where?
Wingstop.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I ordered on the app, and I accidentally got boneless. Accidentally tapped the wrong thing, and I walked in, and they're like, oh, so you had the boneless, and I'm like, oh, actually, that's not what I wanted. And she goes, oh, and she reads it back to me. I go, well, it was my mistake, so no big deal.
And they didn't just offer to change it?
No. She goes, well, these are almost done. So I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. My seasoned fries, when I got them home and tasted them, were not actually seasoned at all.
Mm.
So they were pretty fucking bland.
Ew.
And the cheese sauce that I had paid $2.29 for was not in my bag. Also, here's the added bonus for it. And I should have known something was up and run away at this point. She handed me my cup for my soda because I got the combo and said, oh, our Coke machine isn't working right now. So what you have to do is go through that door and then it's the first brown door on your left and the soda machine's in there. She sent me next door to Burger King.
What?
Exactly. Over here in West Sac, the Burger King is adjacent to the Wingstop. In fact, they share bathrooms. You go out of a door into a hallway, and it's shared bathrooms there. Here's the difference. In Burger King, they just have the standard fountain.
Yeah.
Not the fucking Coke Freestyle machine.
Ah.
So if I would have known there was no Coke Freestyle, I would have said, fuck all y'all, jam those boneless wings up your ass and call it a day. I'm out.
Man,
it was a very disappointing experience.
I've always been disappointed by that place.
I will take responsibility. I fucked up on my app order. So I wasn't going to be like, well, I want these, make these for me instead. Here's how you know it's a problem, though. I walked in there, and from the cash register, I could see something printed in bold type on a paper posted up that said, and it's where I could very easily read it from where I was standing. Requested time off is not guaranteed. Someone has to work the shift.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're an asshole with your workers.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't keep anybody who's worth a shit.
Yes.
Also, not a smile was cracked. I walked in, I'm like, hey, how's it going? Not a smile. When I said, don't worry about it, I'm the one that screwed up the order, not a smile.
Yeah.
Not a single fucking smile the whole time I was there. Motherfucker, the smile should come with the service.
Exactly.
Fuck Wingstop. Like, I've never had, like, so when I lived in San Diego, a block away from me was a Wingstop.
Right.
Do you know how many times I went to that Wingstop? I went there maybe 3 times, like, in the year and a half that I lived there. And it's because, like, it was never as good as the wings and rib place that was like, you know.
I have another story too. I don't want to just bury Wingstop. So I was over at Sacktown Union Brewing on Saturday. Leslie was working and we were texting back and forth and she goes, oh, then you can go over to Beach Hut Deli and get me a sandwich.
Oh.
And I said, okay. I have a fatwa against Beach Hut Deli. It goes back several years. I will not eat their fucking sandwiches because they hire young bitches who don't give two shits about nothing.
Yeah.
Who fucked my order royally. And when I called and said something, I was not given any offer of like, oh yeah, hey, we'll take care of you, whatever, whatever. No, nothing like that. Yeah, sorry. That was all it was.
Yeah.
If you want to bring it back in, then I'm like, I was in on my lunch break. I don't have time to bring this fucking sandwich back to you.
Yeah.
It took you fuckers 25 minutes to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this goes back a long way. So I walk in there and there are literally zero customers in this Beach Hut Deli. And I walk up and there's a girl sitting there by the cash register and I go, hey, how's it going? And I smile and she goes, all right, what do you want? And I'm like, Are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you so exhausted from the rush of customer that you can't manage a fucking smile?
Yeah.
So we finished the whole thing. I ordered my wife's sandwich and she goes, oh, we'll call you when it's ready.
Yeah.
Again, no fucking smile. No fucking smile. Not even a toothless grin. Not even an upturned corner of a mouth. So I go over and I sit down and I wait. And the different girl brings the sandwich out and she says, Nate, and I go, yeah, right here. And, she goes, here you go. And before I can even grab the bag, bitch has turned to go back to the sandwich making area with nary a grin.
Yes.
So 0 for 2. And by the way, one other person had walked into the establishment at that time. So it's not like she had to rush back and get 50 fucking sandwiches made.
So when we were in North Dakota, we stopped at this place called Caribou Coffee and we got the same kind of experience. And my girlfriend was like, I almost was just like, fuck it. Cause the chick was like,
yeah, they it's like you're a fucking imposition on their day.
Yeah.
To which I say, hey, fuck you. If you don't, I know your job sucks. I get it. But
gotta fake it.
Fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. And by the way, your managers are fucking terrible. If your managers allow this to go on all the time, your managers are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Because it's a customer service business and you are giving me zero customer service.
And I think the only reason we still got our coffee is because there's the only coffee place in the neighborhood.
I don't have to do the airing of the grievances. That's my fucking grievance.
I'm not into,
Hold on. We'll just do. There we go.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
Customer service people who can't fucking smile. I know you hate your life. I don't care. Fuck you. Done. It was a short one. I mean, there was about a 5-minute ramp up to it, but sure. Yeah. Here we go. I wanted to get that in. That's the way it goes. All right. Let's move on to something more pleasant, all right?
Florida.
Oh.
Land of enchantment.
Okay, maybe I misspoke.
And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
All right. Let me get some music here to make sure this goes all the way through. I wonder who does this song. Who could this be?
Who is it?
DJ Khaled. Oh!
Fucking hack.
It is a no-brainer. Here's our first story. Let me put it up on the big screen for you. Gentlemen, love the headline from The Smoking Gun. Masseuse Me Suck Suck Bay could lose license over happy ending arrest. That's right, after getting busted for offering an undercover cop a happy ending, Florida masseuse Me Suck Suck Bay is in jeopardy of losing her massage therapist license. Bay, who's 61, was arrested in December after she, quote, agreed to masturbate, end quote, an undercover Jacksonville Sheriff's Office investigator. Now, according to the report, the 62-year-old masseuse, okay, is she 61 or 62? Let's get her story straight. Worked at the Jacksonville Victoria Spa, was charged with offering to engage in prostitution. She subsequently entered a no-contest plea to reduce charge of breach of peace, ordered to pay about $300 in fines and court fees. In light of Bay's plea, the State Board of Massage Therapy filed an administrative complaint seeking to sanction the masseuse. Massage therapists, the complaint notes, are required to maintain patient boundaries and cannot engage in sexual activity with their patients.
They cannot.
Bay, who also uses the surname Gladstone, faces a permanent revocation or suspension of her massage license, a restriction of practice, or lesser penalties. Kareem, what are your thoughts on Me Suck Suck Bay?
That couldn't have been. Like, how do you give her a license and that's her name?
Because no discriminating.
You she filled out a license. She filled out a license, and it says Me Suck Suck Bay.
And tells you like she's telling you what she's going to be doing.
When people tell you who they are,
believe them.
Yeah, I will say though, really, is that the shit that we need to be focusing? Like, is that what police departments are spending their money on?
Yes.
Are like, get the fuck out of here.
Yep. I mean, they're patrolling your jizz.
It's a vice unit.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of here though. Come on, man. Like, we have way more important issues to be fucking dealing with right now than whether or not the 61, maybe 62-year-old Asian woman is giving somebody a hand job for $50 or $25, whatever it is.
What would Jesus think?
Yeah.
He would go and talk to her.
Well, and I'm going to do you like I did Diana on the last show. They actually aren't really. Usually, if they're going in there, they're not doing it to. Because they're doing that, they're doing it to check for human trafficking. Mm. So like I got my license from the county, and I was talking to the lady who did my fingerprints, and she was saying that so that they'll get a thing where they'll bring like a bunch of Asian women through at the same time, and then you know that that's what's going on. So that's really what they're looking for. But if you're just getting a rub and tug, trying to get a rub and tug, you might get caught up in that.
It's true. Also in Florida, Florida man who has the phrase family over everything tattooed across his chest threw his pregnant girlfriend on the ground because he believed she was talking to another man. Roldan Adelman, 22, was arrested following a 2:50 a.m. confrontation in an apartment. According to the complaint, he picked the victim up and dropped her to the ground. She's 4 months pregnant with his child. Because he thought she was talking to another guy. He's unemployed also. He later struggled with police looking to arrest him for battering the pregnant woman. Investigators allege that he punched and kicked officers, prompting one cop to deploy his taser. He also allegedly repeatedly punched a police dog in the face and chest.
What was he on?
Not good judgment. In addition to multiple felony battery and resisting arrest counts, he was charged with marijuana possession. See, Jason, marijuana does make you violent. He's locked up on $20,300 bond. He'd previously been convicted of obstruction, marijuana possession, and battery of the same woman. He had been arrested on several other occasions for strong-arm robbery, aggravated assault, battery on a senior citizen. But those matters were not pursued by prosecutors. In one of the dropped cases, he was arrested for allegedly punching his pregnant girlfriend in the face and biting her cheek. The victim in that 2015 case is the same woman he is accused of assaulting yesterday.
That means she bailed him out of jail.
Yep. Also in Florida, because dickishness is at an all-time high, although I don't know what you do in this situation, an immigrant child escaped the Florida detention center and hid in an auto shop. The 15-year-old Honduran immigrant had been held at the Homestead Temporary Shelter for unaccompanied children for about 3 weeks when she ran away during a trip to the eye doctor. They were transporting her to an eye exam. When they opened the door, started walking in, she took off on them. The girl ran into Gonzalez Auto Center in Homestead, hiding in the corner and refusing to leave. That's according to owner Frank Gonzalez. Said we were giving her water and some food, but she stayed in that corner the whole time. That's what Elvis Lopez, a mechanic, told the Post. She seemingly was pretty scared. She kept saying she didn't want to go back. Now, Gonzalez told the news outlet that he called his sister Bertha Lopez to talk to the girl. Lopez said the girl said she was alone and had no family. Lopez then reportedly got in touch with an immigration advocate who said her local nonprofit could get the girl a lawyer. However, at that point, the shop owner said police began driving by the shop, and then he flagged the officer down and showed the cops where she was hiding in his shop.
Dumbass.
By the way, the ghost of Anne Frank would like a word with you, Frank.
Yeah.
He's a supporter of Trump. He told the Post he did not support the Trump administration's past zero-tolerance policy of separating immigrant families at the border. He said he does largely back Trump on immigration, though, saying, let's make America great again.
Your last name's Gonzalez, boy. It's not going to get better for you.
Frank.
You must be Cuban.
Okay.
The ghost of Anne Frank would like a word with you. Frank. Ironically, Frank. Hey, that 12-year-old girl. I mean, I understand you don't want to be like, hey, I'm harboring a fugitive. But if you've already got your sister there on the phone with an immigration group and they're working at getting her a lawyer, you didn't need to flag down the fucking cops.
No, you could have just left that alone.
With the cops, if the cops came into your store and said, hey, we're looking for this girl. Have you seen her? Okay.
Yeah.
But you went out in the fucking street and flagged him down? What a dick.
Oh, man.
What a dick, Jason.
It never gets any easier.
Sure it does.
All right. Dak Prescott. he's on board with his owner Jerry Jones' new policy that says no protesting during the anthem. In fact, let's take a listen to Dak Prescott in his own words. In his own words.
The beautiful game.
Oh, good. It's an ad. TMZ Sports fucking me again.
Well, I can go ahead and tell you he gets the Megan Train money.
Right.
Fuck Dak Prescott.
Well... You know, here we go.
I don't necessarily listen to it. It has no effect to me because I do exactly what I'm doing and what I've said and what I stand by, whether I was wearing the star or not, whether I was playing for Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, or any other owner. I believe in what I believe in, and that's that.
Is that what is that in terms of the anthem? I mean, does that mean?
Yeah, I mean,
protest?
No, I never protest. I never protest during the anthem, and I don't think that's the time or the venue to do so. The game of football has always brought me such a peace, and I think it does the same for a lot of people. A lot of people playing the game, a lot of people watching the game, a lot of people that have any impact of the game. So when you bring such a controversy to the stadium, to the field, to the game, it takes away from that. It takes away from the joy and to the love that football brings a lot of people. And so for me, I'm all about making a change, making a difference. And I think this whole kneeling and all that was all about just raising awareness, and the fact that we're still talking about social injustice years later, I think we've got to that point. I think we've proved and we know that there's social injustice. So I'm up for taking a next step, that whatever that step may be.
Okay. So as one would expect, he's already started to catch a little ire. Tahir Whitehead, who is a Raiders linebacker, tweeted, sounds like Dak don't want to lose that Campbell's chunky soup deal.
Yeah, so when they got Cam out of his deal for the shit he said to the reporter, then Dak was the person that they gave the next deal to. So remember, I told you they always got to bring a new one in. Dak's their boy now, so fuck that. I'm not a Cowboys. I was like, fuck the Cowboys anyway. I'm glad you got that. Now I'm glad you got that fucking DUI that made you drop two rounds, you bastard. You punk ass bitch.
So Jerry Jones, okay, came out and said, no Cowboy is going to be kneeling for the anthem, and no Cowboy is going to be in the locker room. You're going to be out on the field, and you're going to be standing. Or you're not going to play for the Cowboys.
I really hope some people...
Well, so there's a fella at WFAA television who does sports. He does a lot of editorials too. And we played him on the show before this, but he had a little something to say about this whole situation.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has been talking this week about getting this football team ready to play in another Super Bowl. It has been 22 years since they have, and only 3 playoff wins in those 22 years. But Jones talks about that almost every year anyway. And he has been talking too much this week about all the problem the NFL is still having off the field. Jones and his son Steven were saying the other day that any player who takes a knee and doesn't toe the line during the national anthem won't be playing for the Dallas Cowboys anymore. It's incredible to me that a player can beat up a woman and play for the Dallas Cowboys. A player can use illegal drugs time and time again and still play. But you take a knee to protest the racial injustice in America, and now you've crossed a line that he will not allow.
Here we go.
Jones loves and respects the national anthem so much that when it was being played before the start of practice Saturday, he left his cap on. And when he was told about the mistake he was making, he still left his cap on. He who makes the rules apparently doesn't have to follow them. I'm Dale Hansen. Enjoy the day.
Oh, man.
And I encourage you to seek that video out, because he has the weirdest hand over heart pose ever. It really looks like when Trump made fun of the disabled reporter and he did the hand thing. That's how Jerry Jones is holding his hand over his heart in the whole thing. It's so weird. And there's someone standing next to him that says, take your cap off. And he sort of moves his weird hand up like half an inch and then back down, and he just stands there with his fucking hat on.
Yeah. It's like, you dumbass. And the NFL actually told him to shut the fuck up.
Because, oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Because right now they're actually negotiating with the Players Association about what they're going to do about these, and he's just actually throwing flames on the fire. And guess what? I hope you keep losing money with your Papa John's pizza, you punk-ass bastard.
He's suing and trying to get back in. He's suing his own company.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
He's a punk-ass bitch.
That's why Jerry's losing money, because he owns about 75 of those bitches. that's really what he's mad about.
Mad about a lot of things.
Yeah.
All right, this isn't sex toy news, but I think it's important we get to this. As somewhat of a public service announcement and warning, headline, elderly wife shoots, kills husband after porn purchase.
Wow.
An elderly woman was arrested and charged with murder after police say she shot and killed her husband after he purchased a pornographic movie on their television. Officers say 69-year-old Patricia Hill shot her husband, 65-year-old Frank Hill, on Saturday at their Jefferson County, Arkansas home. Police say Mrs. Hill told investigators that she arrived home and confronted her husband, who was in the utility shed, about a recent pornography purchase he made via their television. She said she canceled the order, but her husband was able to place a subsequent order. She said there was no physical altercation between the two, and that she asked her husband to leave. When he didn't, she told investigators she went to the house and armed herself with a .22 caliber pistol, went back to the shed, and shot her husband once in the leg and once in the head.
What the hell is wrong with her?
Police say after the shooting, Mrs. Hill called 911 and reported what happened. She's being held without bond at the W.C. Dub Brazil Adult Detention Center. She'll remain in custody pending the scheduling of her first court appearance.
Oh, yeah, she should never get out.
She probably got drunk and remembered that time that he pissed her off.
I don't know.
As a callback.
I mean, unless it was child porn. If it was, but you ain't buying that on your TV.
No. No.
All right. And before we get to small town news, I have one other thing that's so kind of fucked up. I needed to talk about it. Headline, Bigfoot erotica takes center stage in Virginia congressional race.
I saw this today.
I put this on Facebook today, and I said, the next time some motherfucker says, California is so weird, I'm going to be throwing shit like this back in their face. So in one of the most bizarre episodes in the midterm elections this year, the race for Virginia's 5th Congressional District has come down to a fight over Bigfoot erotica and whether one candidate is into it. See, Democratic candidate Leslie, it's spelled Cockburn, I'm going to pronounce it Coburn, tweeted on Sunday that in addition to campaigning with a white supremacist, Republican candidate Denver Riggleman was a devotee of Bigfoot erotica. Both charges that Riggleman denied in an interview with CNN, saying my opponent Denver Riggleman, running mate of Corey Stewart, was caught on camera campaigning with a white supremacist. Now he's been exposed as a devotee of Bigfoot erotica. This is not what we need on Capitol Hill. And she also tweeted a photo of the nude Bigfoot from Riggleman's Instagram. Riggleman, however, told CNN that the accusation of sexual interest in Bigfoot was absurd. Sure. And acknowledged writing two books on Bigfoot, including an unpublished text called The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him. Both of which he said were parody and stemmed from running jokes he had with friends from the military. Kareem, you were in the military.
No Bigfoot erotica.
No Bigfoot erotica?
No.
That must be an army thing.
Must be.
Riggleman also said he did not believe in Bigfoot, but added that he didn't want to alienate the Bigfoot vote, and said the entire thing was a joke that his opponent had seized on unfairly, saying, I think we probably jumped the shark on stupid. You're the one that wrote two Bigfoot books, motherfucker.
And there is a white supremacist running for Virginia state legislature, mm-hmm. So yeah, fuck you.
His Bigfoot history seems to have first gained traction after the Cook Political Report noted in its recent overview of House races. The report pointed out the Facebook author page for the Bigfoot book had recently been deleted, and that Riggleman's Instagram was set to private but used to be peppered with images of what can only be described as Bigfoot-themed erotic art. Oh, boy. In a statement, Coburn campaign manager Louise Bruce accused of Riggleman of scrubbing his social media of Bigfoot erotica. And who knows what else? Yes, indeed. Who knows what else? Riggleman said he put his Instagram on private to avoid weird comments. About your Bigfoot erotica?
Yeah, what kind of comments do you make? You get some encouragement?
As the Bigfoot story gained traction online, the Riggleman campaign seemed to lean into it by sharing a video from conservative libertarian activist Matt Kibbe posted on Monday, in which Riggleman played up the strange news cycle and went into a pretty extensive explanation about the Bigfoot belief system.
Wow.
I'm not getting into that or any of the rest of this. By the way, the district contains the city of Charlottesville and leans relatively Republican. So, California's weird. Tell me about that again. You Bigfoot erotica motherfuckers in Virginia.
Bigfoot.
Plan. By the way, and I apologize. I really apologize. I've been using motherfucker a lot, and I have been listening to wrestling podcasts that are hosted, hosted by a dude named Conrad. He has one with Eric Bischoff. He has one with Tony Schiavone, and he has one with Bruce Pritchard. And whenever they say something ridiculous, he will come at them with, "Listen, motherfucker," and now it's apparently worked its way into my vocabulary. So my apologies.
What is the bish up to?
Well, he's doing a podcast called 83 Weeks, going to shows, and he produces TV. He has a TV production company with Jason Hervey.
Okay.
Has had for quite some time.
That's right, because he was, they were bringing him onto the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That was part of it. But, yeah, very intense wrestling podcasts that go, I mean, they're incredibly nerdy. They're, one of them was 3+ hours long.
Oh, shit.
Like, about single topics. So there was one with Bruce Pritchard where they did the career of Edge, and it was, I think it was 5 hours.
Damn.
It was like 5 hours of two dudes talking about it. And like his show prep is anywhere from 60 to 80 pages every week.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, well, good for you guys.
Have they done the show on Nikita Koloff?
You know, they might have. I don't know if he did with Bischoff. That might be one he did with Schiavone or with Bruce Pritchard.
Well, what's the name of the show again?
Well, there's three. I forget what the Tony Schiavone show is, but the one with Bruce Pritchard is called Something to Wrestle, and the one with Eric Bischoff is called 83 Weeks,
okay.
Referencing the 83 weeks that Monday Nitro was beating Monday Night Raw in the ratings.
Gotcha.
Sorry, non-wrestling fans. That's just what's... Just what's up?
What's up?
That's just what's up. You know what else? You know what else is up? Yeah? Huh?
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Well, what's up in Grand Forks, North Dakota is it's reunion season. See, you approach with caution. You move among your old high school classmates, then you begin to recognize them. And most everyone has fun walking down memory lane. It happens every summer. This weekend marks the beginning of a series of class reunions around Grand Forks. Victor Ames and John Molinar are among the hosts for the class of 1988 at Grand Forks Central High School. Hey, class of 88. Woo. When they graduated from Central 30 years ago, there were major renovations underway. Ames remembers, our sophomore year we were in Old Central. Junior year was filled with construction, and senior year was at New Central. Well, that's exciting. Along the way, we lost the old gym that was an icon and the location of many historic games. For his class of 1988, there was a gathering scheduled Thursday evening downtown at Kelly's. The 30th reunion is set to continue today with stops at the Red Pepper and Muddy Rivers. Saturday's events include golf at the East Grand Forks course along with 30-year-ago graduates from Red River High School. And there's a Saturday evening gathering of alumni from both Red River and Central at the Loft downtown.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Across the city, classmates at Red River High have had their 30th reunion scheduled this weekend. With David Nudsvig on the committee, they will gather at Sickies tonight, and they will join Central High School alumni Saturday. Kara Fossey, who was one of the 1988 Red River graduates, says, "We poked fun at ourselves and laughed a lot. I think we saved all rivalry for Central." "But we kind of like Central, too. That is why we're joining their party at the Loft on Saturday night. Red River will celebrate at Sickies on Friday. Now, there are picnics scheduled Sunday at Lincoln Park. By midweek, there are about 60 registered for the reunion from Central, with a similar sign-up by Red River graduates." That's 120 people, by the way. Meanwhile, 2008 graduates of Central High are having a 10-year get-together with a potluck picnic on Saturday. And there will be a gathering for adults only at Joe Black's in the evening, according to Kristen Bernier.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's pretty exciting stuff. Hold on. I need some music here to bring us through to the end of this. Here we go. Since Diana mentioned this on Wednesday's show. Hold on. There we go. This is the one. Here they ask Marilyn questions. What are some of the most interesting license plates you spotted recently? Kitty Cat, Lil Brat, Sin City, Canuck, Broncos with a Z, and RNU Toy.
RNU Toy?
Yeah, RNU Toy. The other question Marilyn tackles this week, what fills you with wonder? I'm surprised the answer isn't everything. Marilyn's a lot more literal. I guess that's the Midwestern sensibility. She said, I wonder what baseball players chew during games. Is it double mint or juicy fruit or something else?
It's a good question. Probably nicotine gum.
And the cheerful people of the week are Debbie Storrs and Howard Swanson.
Howard Swanson?
Howard Swanson. Debbie and Howard are the cheerful people of the week.
Aw, Debbie and Howard, good job.
You know who aren't the cheerful people of the week? Those bitches that work at the Beach Hut Deli.
Man, fuck the Beach Hut Deli.
Or at Wingstop.
Man, fuck the Wingstop.
Hey, I like my Wingstop, so I'm not going there.
Who are you, the Iron Sheik? Fuck the Wingstop?
Fuck the Wingstop. You like Wingstop?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't have an issue with Wingstop.
Man,
when they get it right, the food's fine.
Yeah. Man, it's there's so many other places in town to get better wings, though. Like, I don't know. I'm just like...
They're not in my neighborhood.
that's the other thing.
Yes.
I just go with that. I'd rather not eat some...
Since I mentioned the Iron Sheik, his pinned tweet, in all caps, take a minute of your day to be nice to someone, you dumb son of a bitch. I'm going to print that up and bring it to those bitches at the Beach Hut Deli.
Yeah.
Go, hey. He also tweeted, live your best life, otherwise go fuck yourself. Hashtag Monday Motivation.
That's right.
Do it, Iron Sheik.
There's a lot of wisdom in the Iron Sheik. I'm just saying. All right, that's going to do it for us. Again, if you're listening to this on Friday, Diana Hong at the VFW in West Sacramento tonight, 8 o'clock is the show.
Boom, get there at 6:30 for some ribs.
If you want to do that, go ahead and do that.
Go see Equalizer 2 if you
haven't. Oh, I need to see Equalizer 1 still.
Yeah, actually, 2 is better than 1.
Oh really?
But yeah. I won't know the plot arc if I don't see one.
You know it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I know is Denzel Washington equalizes and he kills people without using guns.
Is that actually 2 gives you more of his story than 1 does? So.
So they're out of order.
Pretty much.
Oh, son of a bitch! By the way, I'll leave you with this bit of knowledge: Tom Cruise is older. The Tom Cruise who just had Mission Impossible movie come out, where he rides a motorcycle around like a crazy man. He is 4 months older than Wilford Brimley was when Cocoon was released.
Get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely true.
And don't be Vin Rings and get the police called on you for going to your own house.
All right, so now a new song has started. Okay, what happened with Vin Rames?
Actually, I guess it happened like last year.
We're just finding out about it?
And now we're just finding out about it. I guess because everybody's been talking about what's happened. So apparently...
2016! It was 2 years ago.
Yeah. So apparently he was came home and he had a knock on the door and he got to the door and the police were there with their guns drawn. It's like he had a red dot in his chest and he was like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, a neighbor reported a, quote, large black man breaking in.
Yes.
Hey, the large black man lives here.
Yeah, and so one of the officers recognized him, not for being an actor, but because their kids are in the same basketball league.
Oh.
He asked the police, well, who called the police? And so they said that this lady called the police, and they went to the house to confront her, and she claimed she didn't call the police. And so the city set up this Meet Your Neighbors event after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, how'd that go?
Apparently it went well, but the thing what he was worried about, he was like, well, what if my son had to come to the door and he had like the game controller or something in his hand?
Or he didn't know enough to follow police commands to the letter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Craziness.
It's craziness that's out there. But that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week.
Next Monday.
It's Monday. By the way, it's August already. How fucked up is that?
Fuck you. Fuck the months.
Fuck the months.
Fuck the time.
Fuck the months. By the way, next week the world will be a better place. Yes. How about that? Next week, better place.
How?
I don't know.
It's fucking
Trump will be in jail. It's coming.
Anything is possible.
It is coming.
Have a little faith, everybody. We'll see you next time. And by the way, shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. I know you can.
You can, of course. All of it.